the volume.
Oral Sessions is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Oral Sessions with me, Renee Paquette. Hopefully you guys are enjoying this on a nice, bright, shiny Thursday or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whenever you happen to be listening to this podcast. Maybe you're listening to it when you're on your quarantine COVID stroll while everyone's trying to clean their mind, get in their steps, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe you're on a treadmill, maybe you're at the gym, maybe you're at work. I don't know, but I appreciate you listening. So today on the show, we have on what I would call a certified badass. In Chris Cyborg. She is the Bellator Women's Featherweight World Champion. She's also the only MMA fighter in history, be it male or female, to become a Grand Slam champion. Yes, I did read this off of her Wikipedia, but an important note nonetheless. I got to sit down with Chris Cyborg and we chatted obviously what's going on with her in Bellator, who she wants to fight next. She's got a fight queued up. She would not tell us who it is yet. Fair enough. We'll all have to wait to see what's going to happen. But she has made it public that she only wants to have three fights this year. She has a few different names, talks about what the division's looking like, how much she enjoys her time at Bellator and being a champion there. We talk Amanda Nunes, of course. We could not talk to Chris Cyborg without bringing up Amanda Nunes. We talk about growing up in Brazil, all the different sports she's played, to giving back to her community, all the things that are important to Miss Chris Cyborg. All right, so guys, without further ado, let's get into it. You're going to like this episode. She's amazing. Cannot wait to see what these next fights are going to be for her lined up for the rest of 2021. Here she is, Chris Cyborg. All right, joining me today on Oral Sessions, we've got the Bellator featherweight champ, Chris Cyborg. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on your show and... happy, excited for my next fight. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, so what is going on in your world? Because you need people to fight. Who do you want to fight? What's going on?
You know, the one thing is very nice at Bellator, I have a lot of girls in my division. Mm-hmm. And I have it already scheduled for my next fight. No announced yet. Sorry, my dog is no announced yet.
You can't give us a little sneak peek of who it's going to be.
I can have it to wait to the promotion. Yes, I would like to for sure.
We'll all have to wait. I think one thing that seems a little bit interesting is maybe something down the line with you and Clarissa Shields in some capacity. Is that something that you'd be interested in?
You know, Clarissa Shields came from boxing. She's going to start her career in MMA. We are friends, but if it sometimes end the line, it's happened, we fight each other. You know, for sure it's going to be professional. But I didn't see this, you know, happen soon, maybe later, but if you're happy, you know, you just have to be professional, be aware of both sides and do a great fight for the fans.
Okay, so there wasn't a ton of women ahead of you when you were getting your start in the MMA world. Who were some of the people that you were looking to for inspiration that made you be like, hey, that's a thing that I want to do and dominate in?
You know, the reality, I never have a dream to be a fighter. You know, before I was an athlete and I played handball in all my teenager time, in the 12 to 19. And the one coach, he's watching me play handball, and he came talk to me after the game. He said, I think you can be a great fighter. And I look at him surprised because I never think be a fighter before. And then he said, came to my gym. I'm gonna teach some stuff to you, my Thai, you know, some boxing. And it's okay. But, you know, I was never have a dream to be a fighter. And then I did one class in my Thai. I said, this is cool. And I think I trained in 3 months and I told the coach, I would like to do one fight for see how it works.
Wow. Only after 3 months of training,
yes.
You're like, I'm ready to go, put me in, coach.
Yeah. Because I think because I always in my career, I always compete. You know, everything I compete, I started to compete at 12 years old. And then for me, it's just one challenge for me. Mm-hmm. And then I told him, I would like to do one fight. And then 6 months, I did my first fight. I lost that fight. You know, I dislocated my elbow at that time. But I always feel like, man, I born to do this. I love it. I think all the sports I did before, I played soccer. Mm-hmm. I did the track running. I did a lot of sports in my career. I did basketball. you know, and a lot of things I didn't when I was a teenager. And I think when I started fighting, I say, you know, I born to be a fighter. And I think all the sports helped me build me who I am today.
How did your coach watching you play handball go, you should fight people? Were you just like aggressive on the field? Like, what do you think made that light bulb go off for him?
Or actually, it's not the coach, the handball. It's one father, the one kid. When we play each other, he's watching me, and inside the mixed martial arts thing. And then he told me, I think you can be great fighter. And my handball coach is not happy because he lose me all the time. He tell me.
So as you're playing all of these sports, I mean, you just rattled off a bunch of the sports that you were playing and dabbling in and being successful in. Were you kind of on a path to be like, hey, how can I just make being an athlete my career? I mean, that can be a bit of a difficult thing along the way, especially given some sports for female athletes in particular as well. Was that something you were thinking, that you really wanted to find a way to turn this into a career in some capacity?
You know, the beginning when I started training, I play handball. You know, in Brazil, it's very bad. Handball does not have a lot of support. And we are the best team, the handball. We were very good in Brazil. But it's on Europe game. And I have a lot of scholarship when I go to school, high school, university, from the handball. You know, I really have a plan to be athlete, but I was not have a plan to be a fighter. But I always have in my mind, you know, be athlete, because, you know, I love compete. I love training. I have in my mindset, I would like to be an athlete. And just be a fighter is just different world, but you continue doing the same thing, train every day and be an example.
You said you had scholarships to go to university. What were you studying when you went to school?
Education physical.
To be like a gym teacher?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. So no matter what, you were working in sports, no matter anyway. Okay. So what do you think of the state of women's MMA right now? I mean, things are going really well. Things are moving in the right direction. What do you want to see change in women's MMA or some matches that you want to be a part of?
You know, I believe the good thing happened is like before, only it's was men's sport. No, a lot of girls would like to watch. And after that, when you start doing women's MMA, the girls start to like watch. It's like a family sport now. You know, everybody getting together for City Girls Fight. This is one cool thing. When I start fighting, I don't have so much publicity, so much things, you know, around the women's MMA. And it makes me really very happy how it's growing fast, it's getting better. I have a lot of girls want to be a fighter. And the one thing I think is good for our sport, maybe open more divisions. Mm-hmm. I think as the division is very far away, it's like 115, 125, 135, 145, 155. I think you can open a little bit more divisions. I know it's going to be more work for the promotion, but I believe it's healthy for the fighters, you know, for not have to lose so much weight, but for the health.
That whole thing, the cutting weight and all that just seems absolutely grueling. It blows my mind what you guys are able to do for your bodies. What is that process like for you when you're having to cut weight before a fight?
You know, in the beginning of my career, always the problem is about what division you want to fight. You know, because like, and they don't have divisions. Like for me, I walk like 165, 170, but no, 155 now have. My beginning of my career doesn't have. I did my first fight in Brazil. I believe it was 140, 145. Yeah, I already struggled for me too. And but now because I'm doing this, I'm going to be like 15 years. I started 2005, almost 16. But I started learning about my body. You know, I started learning how to lose weight, but safely. You know, I try stay my weight low. I try not just cut close to the fight, but doing on good, great process. You know, I learned about my body, but I know the young girls didn't know, because in the beginning of my career, I didn't know, you know, and I think we can have a more conversation with the girl, female fighters. It's more difficult, you know, you're a woman too. You know how difficult to lose weight, you know, and
I can't imagine yeah. What you guys do. I mean, I want to lose 5 pounds and I need to I can't even think about it.
Yes, it's different like men's and women's too, because, you know, men's stay 1 week, no eat, just salad. You can see them lose a lot of weight. Us, nothing, you know, like, it's crazy.
It's crazy. My husband will go for a jog and in the heat in Las Vegas. He's like, I think I just lost 5 pounds. I'm like, what the hell? It takes 6 months to do that.
Yes, it's different for women. And that, because this, I believe, they have a more weight class. I think it's going to be good for women.
So this brings me, of course, I know this has been all over the internet, but talking about Amanda Nunes and yourself. Obviously you guys are in rival promotions, but is that something that you would like to revisit at some point again in your career?
You know, I always, after that loss, I always asked for the rematch, but you know, UFC was not the time no one would like to give to me. At the moment in my career, I will see what's the best option for me. And I wait my contract finish and I see what's the option, the great promotion for me fighting, not just about respect, but about the pay too, the pay better the athletes. And I'm really happy where I'm at Bellator. Fans would like to watch the rematch. I would like to do this rematch for sure. You know, when I did talk to Scott Coker, the president of the Bellator, I told him, you know, I have a dream about this fight. I would like to have this fight, maybe cross promotion. He said, Chris, for me, you know, I'm open for that. I sent some champions from Bellator to fight in Japan. For me, I don't have any problem with the fight. The fans would like to watch this fight. You know, just with the UFC open for do that, we can do that. Or maybe in the end, if Amanda Nunes wants to finish her contract, see what the options she has, you know, see her value, how much she can make. I think she can make a lot more, maybe after the, before outside the UFC. And maybe we can fight, make this fight happen, you know, but I really would like it. I think all the fans would like to watch.
Oh my God, we're all dying to see that fight, 100%. I also saw that after Amanda Nunes and Megan Anderson, you parked your van outside the Apex in Las Vegas?
No, I have a little problem there. The gas pinch.
What happened? Were you just like trolling them, or was that like to troll Dana White? Who was that for?
Do you know you have our RV and have all the sponsor. We always travel with the RV, you know, for support Cyber Nation. We have Cyber Nation everywhere in the world, in Las Vegas too, you know, and that was in Las Vegas. I know I stayed back before. I'm moving to Vegas and I have my parking, my RV there. So you know what? Free market. You know, free market, I'm going to park it close to the FC there and leave my RV there. And it's nice, you know, you see everybody take pictures and see the RV. It's nice to do this.
Did they say anything to you? Did anyone from UFC reach out to you to be like, can you get your van away from our property?
You know, actually, we think they're going to tow our car, you know, but we already, if they tow it, it's worth it. It's okay.
Oral Sessions is proud to be presented by FanDuel. You guys never played FanDuel Fantasy before? Great! FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with our 20% deposit match. Why do I play FanDuel? I play FanDuel because I'm new to the fantasy game. I kind of need somebody to hold my hand through the whole process. And the thing with the FanDuel Fantasy app is that it's so incredibly easy to use. Even a dum-dum like me can make it work. And if you happen to be a fence sitter like yours truly, you guys can pick a new team every single game. You can switch it up. You can change your mind. It's all up to you. Ball is in your court. So FanDuel is offering new users a deposit match of up to 500 smackaroos when you make your first deposit. Just go to FanDuel.com/cowherd for more info. FanDuel.com/cowherd. FanDuel, more ways to win. Getting back to you playing in the national handball team, how does this, like, what exactly is handball? Because it's not big in America, but it's obviously big in Brazil. What can you, like, break it down for us a little bit?
It's like a game six against six, like a six. You make a goal with your hand, but is the goal, it's like a soccer goal, you know, and there's a six against six and they have people in the goal, like a seven people. It's a team. It's a huge in Europe. It's huge. Sometimes I tell I play handball, the people understand I play that pinky throw in the wall. No, it's very rough game. Like rough, like it's you touching the person, Chad, for save. You know, it's a rough game. It's not like basketball. Basketball is rough too, but if you touch, it's a fall. You know, handball then leave a little bit. You know, it's rough. I think because this is the guy watching me play handball, I say he'd be a great fighter.
Do you still get to play at all? Do you have like friends around you that you still get to play now?
Or do you have I still have friends that play handball and have girls that we play together. Then now compete for Brazil, you know, they're very good. And I think I know now. I think in 2016 when I did my first 5FC, in Curitiba, my city, we play a little bit handball. I see my team, some people over there. Now it's everybody young than me, you know, starting handball. But I start to play with them over there, and I play a little bit. You know, it's nice. You know, I have something inside of me when I play handball. It's a, I know it's a group, but I have my individual part. I think it works perfect, maybe because this depends on me. You know, because this I start running. You know, I start doing competition run because I feel something do by myself too. We don't have a team in MMA. We have a team. We need a team. But who's going inside the cage fight? It's you.
Yeah.
Nobody can do for you. But the team behind, yes, we have a great team. But yes, I play a little bit more, yes. And I say, man, this game is dangerous.
Yeah, you can't get injured.
I can't hurt myself here.
Oh my gosh. So I grew up in Canada and I played ringette, which is a lot like hockey. And I'm constantly having to explain to people what it is because they don't know. It's not popular in America. So I sort of feel your pain on that 100%.
Yeah.
What was it like for you growing up in Brazil? What is a childhood in Brazil like?
You know, I'm not troublemaker, and, you know, when I'm teenager, I'm a very nerd. I love sport. And then the one thing is nice in school, if you want to continue to play sport, your grades have to be good. If your grades no good, you cannot play the sport. And this is one thing to just motivate me, you know, for continue doing better. My mom worked the whole time. You know, I always stay sometimes babysit, sometimes by myself. I have an older brother too, and he's played soccer at the time too, and I always play handball. Yeah, my mom, my dad then divorced, but you know, we have a great relationship. I always have my dad support me, support us. He's watched, I think, my first fight, and then he's very getting shocked, never watch again in life. He said, this is not for me.
He won't watch anymore?
Nah, he's like to watch after. My mom don't like to. Like, sometimes she just came from Brazil to watch the fights, and then she disappeared. She didn't watch. She just inside the arena, but you cannot find her.
Yeah.
Because she don't like to watch. I think too much stress. I don't like it. See people, I love who fight. Make me nervous. Yeah, I don't like it.
What did your mom do for a job when she was raising you guys?
She sells fabrics in Brazil.
Nice. Okay, yes. So when did you move to the U.S.? Because you became a naturalized citizen in 2016, right?
Yes, yes.
I just became one on Thursday.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
What a process. How was it for you? How was your process of becoming an American? Did you celebrate? Like, what did you do?
Yes, we celebrate. My fiance is so happy. Everybody's so happy. You know, it's hard work when you come from different country, you know. It's when I came to America, I didn't speak any English. And I don't went to school learning English here. I learned with the people around me inside the gym. You know, it's very blessed, you know. I feel very blessed to be. And I knew when the first time I came to America was 2008 I did my first fight. Mm-hmm. And I say, you know, I need to move to America for me can continue my sport, what I love to do, because in Brazil have a lot of athletes, but don't have the same opportunity they have here. And then I say, you know, I need to move there. And then the first time I supposed to stay just 6 months learning English and the training, because here I learned wrestling, boxing, you know, if people like here, the sports is more growth than over there. And then I stayed. I have a good lawyer. You know, I have a
Thank
work
God
visa.
For them, right?
Yes, I have a visa work. And then they give it, because I have when I get my first title, like it's the first title, Dumas MMA, when I fought Gina Carano in 2009, my lawyer said, you know, this is the great opportunity that you can get your green card. And I got my green card for athletes. And after getting my citizenship.
Oh, did you have like an O-1 visa?
Yes.
Oh my God. It's so nice to be done with that. We don't have any more paperwork.
Yes. Yes.
You can really celebrate the 4th of July. Did you do that? Did you have like a big 4th of July?
The 4th of July is huge, you know, it's like huge. The first time I went to here is nice. Everybody happy in the street and chill and very cool. Very cool.
Okay. So you mentioned 2008 was the first time that you came to the United States, and that's when you first started learning English. How was that?
Well, I tried some classes in Brazil, but the class is different when you come to the place, you know, like you learn more if you go travel. If you travel and they will speak in any language you want to learn, it's better you travel and then you see how it works. Because when you learn English, but you don't know, it makes sense. Sometimes it's not the same pronounced the here. But the first time when I come here in 2008, did my first fight and back to Brazil. And then I moved to 2009, like a couple months before Gina Carano fight.
What a journey. That's crazy. Okay, so your very first fight in the United States, I believe, was against a friend of the program here on Oral Sessions and Shayna Baszler.
Yes.
I love Shayna.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, she's the best. I mean, so we work together in WWE. Is that something that you would like to do? Because I've seen you out there putting out, talking to Becky Lynch or Mickie James, whoever. Do you want to dabble into the wrestling world?
You know, it's a tough sport. I respect everyone does. You know, I did some training, some girls too doing wrestling. And yes, you know, if I have the opportunity, I like challenge. You know, the beginning of the conversation, I told you, I like to challenge. You know, and if I have the opportunity, for sure, for me, it's going to be a big challenge. But I'm here for learning and do the best show for my fans.
I think people would love to see that. I know when I was doing a bit of research heading into this interview, I saw Samoa Joe, who's just fantastic, but he kind of gave an endorsement for you to come into WWE, as well as Sonya Deville, who has an MMA background herself. But nice. I think there's plenty of people. There's a little bit of depth there. If you wanted to get in there, maybe Ronda Rousey steps back into WWE.
Yeah, maybe the fight you never can show the fans, me, Ronda Rousey, and MMA. Maybe we can show the new pro wrestling. That was going to be nice, yes.
The next time you're watching basketball, I've got the perfect way for you to get in on the action for free. I'm talking about NBA InPlay. It's absolutely free to play on the FanDuel app and features all the fun of live betting. NBA InPlay turns every quarter of every game into a free contest where you can win real cash prizes. So while you're watching the game, all you have to do is predict the outcome of plays and game props before they happen to claim your share of the prize pool. Best of all, a new contest starts every quarter of every game, giving you even more ways to win. FanDuel is the exclusive home for NBA InPlay, so the action's always available right at your fingertips on the FanDuel app. The app is so easy to use and it takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. And it doesn't matter where you live or where you're traveling to, because NBA InPlay is available in every state. Don't miss your shot. Get in the game and download the FanDuel app to start playing NBA InPlay today. Okay, so a big thing for you is giving back to your community. I mean, that's been a huge thing for you. I mean, after your fight, after winning UFC 222, what you drove around Los Angeles, just handing out hamburgers to people of need. Also travel to Uganda and you're digging wells to be able to give clean water that you're working in conjunction with Fight for the Fallen. When did those things start to become important to you?
You know, for me, I'm a Christian believer when in 2006. And for me, I always to return to community, return to people around me. You know, it's important. You know, one thing I always like to ever fight, I always praying to see what the important for me can give you back. I feel like the blessing cannot stop you. Have to be blessed. If you're getting blessed, you have to bless, have to flow, you know, for help the people. And this is, I believe this. And then sometimes, you know, sometimes, okay, we did the video, give it the hamburgers, you know, sometimes I really don't like show what to do. A lot of things I do, it don't show anybody. But sometimes you encourage people to do this. You know, and that day I went to the hamburger place, they give the hamburger for the people living on the street. And it's very sad because a lot of people is not from here. A lot of people far in the family, different, you know, in another country. And they came like us, follow one dream. That day was very, very, very sad. Yeah, okay, maybe I'm not going to change the life of them, just gonna give them one hamburger, but, you know, share the experience, talk about God for them, give a little hope in their hearts, you know, make them change a little bit. Or, you know, I think something like this. And I always like to do, you know, in Brazil, I still have projects with kids and can do, they have kids having playing jiu-jitsu, you know, have another kids then in one community, the parents, when the parents need the help too and don't have nobody to leave the kids stay in the project and learn a lot of things. You know, I always like to return and give it back. We're doing our event too. I have an MMA event in Brazil. If we give the opportunity for the other athletes can see the dream, can come true, you know, have the opportunity. And the name of the event is Cyber Nation Fights. Have the website. You guys can go check it out. And yeah, we're doing it return. You know, I just return what I received. And then just show the thankful what's happened with me.
What are your trips to Uganda like when you're digging these wells and getting that clean water into these other villages? What is that experience like?
You know, that experience, I always tell everybody, everyone's supposed to go over there and see that. I went there soon after Amanda Nunes' fight, and lost the fight. Of course, I stayed a little sad. I stayed thinking about a lot. You can change, you cannot change. But then when I went there, I said, man, that loss like is nothing close to this. You know, you see kids like don't have water, have to walk 20 miles for get water. You little kids, you see the one thing touched really my heart to see one kid walk to the street for get water. She have two shoes, but she have one sock on. Aww. But she put the one sock. You know what I mean? Like yeah. Even she have just one, she put. You know,
one and sock's better that thing, than no socks.
Yeah. For me, it, like touch my heart, even though it's one. And you know, it's just a touch really my heart. I went to that one and celebrated the water. You know, we put the water. There was two water wells there, and then the day they celebrate is nice because I had the opportunity to go over there. Then went to with it. After the fight for Forgotten, they really supported the pygmies there. And it was amazing. It was an amazing experience when the water come out of the hole and everybody started drinking the water and make a little party. And we danced together. If you guys would like to watch, have it on my YouTube. You guys can get the videos too. It's nice. It's nice. It's very cool. You make really happy. You say, man, yes. It's more important. You know, they always don't think it sounds heavy. I stay a long time champion in my career and I'm still champion, but people say, she's the world champion.
Yes.
Be the world champion. You sound there thinking, man, you need something to change the world around where you're at. You know, yeah. Be the champion. The world is big responsibility. Don't just hold a title. And I always have this in my mind. I always come to be a world champion. Okay. What you can do, you know, it doesn't matter. Okay. You have to do small things. No, help somebody across the street. Mm-hmm. I know some grocery from somebody. Little things like be champion the people's hearts. And this is, I think, is more special. Just hold on tight.
It's really crazy how much we just take for granted to be able to turn on our faucet and be able to have water, and we can shower and we can boil water whenever we want. Like, it's got to be so eye opening to go to a country like that and be able to see them pump their water for the first time. That's so
cool. And then the one thing is amazing that I was a smile. Like, then I was a smile over there. Then I was happy.
Yeah.
You know, no complaints. Like, no complaints. And then you have to maybe try go every year, you know, because. We complain for little things, not supposed to complain, you know, and yeah.
I love that. Okay, so it was International Women's Day just recently, and you took to the old Twitter machine and giving praise to Scott Coker, the president of Bellator, for giving women a platform when other promoters maybe wouldn't give them a chance. Like, is that a shot at Dana or something at UFC, or is it like what? I feel like there's an understory to this.
Do you know, Scott Coker is the guy, he's first promoter of the women's MMA fight, the main event. You know, he's given the opportunity for women's MMA. They always believe in women's MMA, you know, because you say about Dan White, I was not talking about him, you know, I did a shout out for Scott. But Dan White is the person, the promoter, say the girl's never going to step in the UFC. And you see the girls, everywhere the girls step, they win success. This is good. And then, you know, we start fighting in the UFC, and then, you know, we see how's huge getting in women's MMA, but you know, the first promotion, you know, give it the shout out to women's MMA, it's Scott Coker.
Even just you saying when we first hopped on of how many women there are in your division. And you've also made it clear that you want to have three fights in 2021. I know one of them you can't tell us about. Are there options for what you want to see some of those other fights be?
The next one we had is scheduled, then. I think the next on the line maybe going to be Julia Budd, the one that defended the title. She's undefeated 18 years and she lost for me. She's come from the winner, you know, and she's continuing win. Probably she maybe going to be again. And they have another girls in the line, but I believe it is the next step.
One last thing that I keep seeing on your Twitter is about Bitcoins. Do you have a Bitcoin? Are you investing in Bitcoins? What's going on?
Yes, I do invest in Bitcoin. Funny because a couple years ago, my fiance said, Chris, you need to invest in Bitcoin. I said, no. And then I said, man, yes, let's do that. And you know, you can see how it's growing and then the currency. And then, you know, it's yeah, we invest in Bitcoin. My website We can buy a shirt, anything in my website. You can pay with Bitcoin. Yes, we're Bitcoin supporters.
I don't really understand how Bitcoins work. How much do you have to invest to get a Bitcoin? Is that how it goes?
You know, now I think one Bitcoin is like almost 70,000. But before, it was so cheap before. Like very cheap. Now it's good because the Bitcoin thing is now have a lot. Have a lot, but it's no unlimited, like have a limit. If you don't get a Bitcoin and finish it, you're not going to get it.
Have you bought things with your Bitcoin yet?
I don't buy it. I start saving for me. Yeah. I start saving for me.
Smart.
In the future, maybe trade some stuff, you know?
Okay. I'm going to have to look into this. I mean, I've had two different conversations about Bitcoins on this podcast, and it looks like it's the future that we need to do it.
Yes. Yes.
All right. I'll think about it. Well, Chris Cyborg, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you taking the time. Best of luck. I cannot wait to see what this announcement is going to be for what your next fight's going to be. We're all dying to see you step back into the octagon.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I love your questions. It's very smart one, very nice. And I appreciate your time too. And we talk to you soon or later next time.
Definitely.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye. Thank you so much to Chris Cyborg for joining me today on the show. Hopefully we can get her another time down the line, maybe post one of these fights that she's going to have lined up, get to pick her brain a little bit more. But hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. And make sure to follow all of the things for Oral Sessions. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Renee Paquette. You can follow The Volume Network at The Volume Sports, which is on both Twitter and Instagram. I thought I had that wrong for a second, but I do not. Pregnancy brain is kicking in and everything's a little bit of a struggle these days, but that is accurate. And then our YouTube channel, we are growing. It's happening. We're putting out the full length episodes. We've got clips from the shows. We're going to be adding some more content in there coming up. So make sure you check that out. Go on YouTube and just search my name, Renee Paquette, and you will find it. You can subscribe. You can turn on your cool little notifications to know when we're putting out all this new content. Because I feel like I'm constantly spamming everybody. Check out this, buy my book, do this, blah, blah, blah. You guys might be over me by now, so I'm trying not to overstate my welcome. But just do it. I promise you'll enjoy it. Please, help a sister out. All right, guys, this has been my episode of Oral Sessions. I'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.